Chapter 1. Guatemala City, Guatemala. Spring 2011. Pedro Martinez peered through the smoke filling the makeshift workers' bar, trying to penetrate the fog to spot his friend's arrival, or his enemies. He didn't know what they looked like, but he knew his actions would bring them if they discovered what he was doing, both inside the government and out. The ones outside were whom he truly worried about. The government simply followed the money. Even if they pulled the trigger, the money did the killing. He saw the door open, and a man appeared in the gloom. He walked through the smoke, and Pedro thought he recognized his friend. The new arrival approached the bar, then simply leaned against it, glancing around. Pedro stood and waved, and the patron began moving toward him. When the man finally came close enough for Pedro to penetrate the haze, he recognized his friend's face, the forehead and upper lip glistening in a sheen of sweat that was much greater than the heat the bar extracted. Pedro pointed to a seat and said, "Did you get it?" The man glanced left and right, refusing to answer. Pedro said, "Rafael, did you get it?" Rafael focused on Pedro and said,
"Yes, I found it, and you were right. But I don't think I want to give it to you. This is very dangerous."
"Of course it's dangerous. You knew that. But the dangerous part for you is over. Give it to me."
"They will know. They will kill me. They will know."
"Not if you did it right. Nobody will know until it's too late. You go back to work tomorrow like nothing has happened, and I'll stop what they're doing. For both of our families, for all of the families they're trampling."
Rafael worked for a company called De Gaulle Solutions, a Canadian mining firm from Quebec that extracted gold and silver through open pit mines. Over the course of years, the mining concerns had grown exponentially in Guatemala, the government enamored with the revenue, but the fallout had hit the villages near each of the mines exponentially. Rainforest devastated by the open sores of the mines, destroyed farming and grazing lands, and the toxic runoff all had begun to erode the small villages dotted throughout Guatemala. Then the villagers had begun to fight back, protesting more and more in a feeble attempt to get the government to listen to them. Why were their concerns less important than the mining companies who paid for the mineral rights? Pedro knew the answer. Because of the money. Up until now, the government had been able to prove that what they were doing was for Guatemala's greater good, and that the complaints were from just a few disgruntled farmers. There wasn't any rape of the land. It was all precisely controlled. And then there had been a rumor that De Gaulle Solutions was asking for a mining concession in the Maya Biosphere Reserve, the largest protected rainforest in Central America, a huge tract of land greater than the size of El Salvador. It was in the north of Guatemala, and supposedly had ironclad safeguards. But the money always spoke. Rafael glanced around the room one more time, then pulled out a folded sheet of paper. He passed it across. Pedro opened it, smoothed out the creases, and read an email from the head of De Gaulle's Guatemalan branch to a deputy in the Guatemalan National Council of Protected Areas, the Consejo Nacional de Áreas Protegidas, or CONAP in Spanish. Pedro scanned the letter and saw the details of a bribe if the government would approve a limited search for rare earth metals in the protected lands of the biosphere, an area that was supposedly bulletproof secure from the rapacious beasts that had begun gobbling up Guatemala. Pedro finished reading and smiled, saying,
"Yes, yes, this is the proof we need. Perfect."
Rafael said, "That's not proof. It's simply a piece of paper I printed off. Who's to say you didn't write it?"
"But you still have access to the computer servers, right? If we release this, the government will seize those computers. And it will be known worldwide."
Rafael scoffed and said,
"You are so naive. All you've done is put both of us in danger."
Pedro said,
"If you believe that, why did you do it?"
Rafael didn't answer. He said,
"I must go."
He stood and Pedro said,
"You did well. Don't worry. Go back to work tomorrow, and we'll do the rest."
Rafael nodded and rushed out of the bar. Pedro waited a bit, then rose himself, leaving a few bills on the chipped Formica